When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Brian here with a fully stocked cabinet of co-hosts. We have Paul, producer Dave, and Kyle all with me here today. And today we're going to be talking episode 8, the season 1 finale of Amazon Prime's hit show Gen V, of course, The Boys spinoff. Today's episode is entitled Guardians of Godolkin. And before we dive into this season finale, I do want to remind you to go over to Bingetown TV, browse our catalog of all our backdated episodes. We just finished our coverage of The House of Usher on Netflix. Wheel of Time, also on Amazon Prime, was probably a month ago at this point. A couple anime shows, Jujutsu Kaisen, Attack on Titan. That is finally over, as I understand it, after 5.5 years, however long they dragged that on.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, if you are not getting enough of the superhero stuff, Invincible is starting up, and you better believe we're going to be covering that as well, also on Amazon Prime. And then also, hey, if you want some more of The Boys Gen V content, you should go back and listen to our season 3 coverage of The Boys to get you geared up for season 4. That's probably coming out shortly. But again, all of that can be found at BingetownTV.com. So go over and stop on by. But yes, season finale of this inaugural season of Gen V. I loved it. There were a lot of jaw-dropping moments, but I want to open the floor to you guys, starting with Mr. Kyle, who is joining us for the first time in our season coverage.
Yeah, it's an honor to make my Gen V debut. I believe if you're an OG Bingetown The Boys fan, you might recognize me. I feel like I was on season 2 a decent amount, season 1 as well potentially. I was initially not very jet, and let's not say that I wasn't like falling out of my chair to watch Gen V, just because, you know, spinoff content was whatever. What a ride. I was blown away in the positive sense about everything. The finale, the only comment I have, and Jimmy, I know, shares this, and I'm curious to see if other people do as well. I was just shocked at how short it was. Mm-hmm. The more I'm thinking about it, I was like, like, what else did I really want content-wise out of it? But I was just kind of shocked. Like, damn, it was literally like maybe 34 minutes of content, which felt crazy. But I thought all of the stuff that happens is fantastic.
I'm getting chills right now just remembering the episode, because it was the references that we got in this episode, the characters that start to bleed in from our The Boys universe into here, was just incredible. I agree, Kyle. I mean, I think me and Luke and Alki, when we geared up the episode, we're just like, oh, I can't wait to watch like a full hour. Like, you know, this is the finale. They're going to give us that hour episode that we've been desperately craving. I pull it up, 39 minutes, and I'm just like, how are they going to make us the shortest episode? But you're absolutely right that, looking back on it, I mean, there wasn't really much else that the finale needed, because
it's a tight 38 or whatever. I don't think there was really like wasted space. It was just like, okay, well,
I think we used some more penis shots. we kind of busted our load, no pun intended, in the beginning of the season. But
I would have more complaints if this show, if I knew this show hadn't just gone, is going to be the opening for season 4, basically. You know, like the cliffhanger, I was honestly not, for some reason, I just wasn't expecting a cliffhanger. I was expecting kind of everything to wrap up and then have that kind of translate into season 4 of The Boys. So this was honestly a pleasant surprise for me. I think this was really incredible. And again, what a ride.
Yeah, I will share all my feelings as we cover the episode, but exactly the same thing. I loved it. What an incredible season. I mean, the implications going forward of what this could mean is crazy. And just the storytelling in general. I mean, I was honestly thrown a curve completely. Didn't see it coming. We'll get to it in the end. But I mean, this show, when you think of it, you think of the action, the crazy scenes, and you forget how good the actual writing can be at sometimes. So this show's got it all, man. I love the boys. I love Gen V now. So this is great.
I want to call out our Twitter too, because I think it was Jimmy or someone, Kyle, maybe it was you, but someone tweeted from our account saying, is The Boys the best cinematic universe that's out right now? To me, yes. I don't think it's like really, I mean, Game of Thrones, I guess we'll be creeping into that territory too, because we have House of the Dragon. But like, as of right now, I think The Boys is number one cinematic universe.
For yeah. Me. I mean, it's such a small sample size. It's the more exactly. You put it out, the harder it is to be. Like,
for me, one season of its second show does not a universe make to me. I think we gotta give it some time to breathe. Certainly not about to crown it the best cinematic universe out there. But I mean, hey, the quality of both of these shows is not up for debate. I would agree with you guys. I think all four of us think it was very quick. And I think the nature of the episode was just so chaotic. That almost compounded how fast, you know, you blink and you miss the entire thing. But I also agree. Someone said this is really just blending into The Boys. We get Ashley, we get Homelander. They're talking about the Seven, like the lines between Gen V and The Boys as individual series were very blurred in this episode. And I love it because Gen V is over and they're getting us excited for season four of The Boys.
I hope a lot of people start to pick up on Gen V, because I feel like when I would casually bring up Gen V to just like our friends who love The Boys too, I think I mentioned this earlier in like one of the earlier podcast episodes. I just want to reiterate it here that I think a lot of people just weren't interested in watching Gen V. Like, I guess Kyle, you can also kind of attest to that. Maybe if you didn't have the podcast, you wouldn't have been like itching to get right into it, you know? And a lot of our friends felt that same way. And
I think it's a combo, like it's kind of a general exhaustion maybe of like, let's say obviously it creeps off of the whole MCU thing where it's like, I don't want to have to watch 13 TV shows and see 12 movies to like understand what's going on and things. And it's like, oh my God, like The Boys, like, do I need a Boys spinoff show? Like, was I ever begging or calling out for that type of deal? So like, that was like, I wasn't like completely like freaking out, like, you know, the day it premiered, like, I want to watch. But it was fucking fantastic.
So basically where I was going with that is just, I hope that with this finale and like news of people like reacting to the finale and being like, oh my God, like season four of The Boys is gonna be crazy. I just hope that encourages more people to actually want to watch the show, because it really does. I wonder if it will be like how necessary it will be for season four. You know, like if you're someone who didn't watch the show, start up season four, would it still translate easily? So that's something I'm curious to see how they do, but we can get right into it. I'm enough talking from my ends.
Sounds good to me. And I mean, we pick up right where we left off in episode 7, Shetty on the floor down for the count. And it's kind of the pals, as we have dubbed them, just being like, oh my gosh, what the hell do we do now? And we, you know, definitively see Sam and Kate draw a line in the sand and say, hey, we are on this side. We're going to go save the people in the woods and do whatever we want to do. And then they kind of just run away and do that, leaving Emma, Marie, and Jordan to be like, oh my gosh, what are we supposed to do to help them, to help everyone? This could really turn bad.
Yeah, look, and they can't call like cops or security either, because then, you know, they'll actually take down Sam, and Emma doesn't want that to happen. Brian, right off the bat, fine. I concede my theory last episode where Shetty wanted all this to happen. This was her whole plan all along. Yes, her cutting her own throat was not all part of her diabolical plan.
Yeah.
I swung and a miss on that one. Shetty's done and Kate's going off. And the way it just showed her hearing everybody's thoughts of everybody freaking out. Everybody has a million thoughts going through their own head. So she has like 5 million thoughts going through her head. They do a really good job of portraying it.
Look, I'm not going to pick a side quite yet, but I'm just going to say that I totally understand, because it feels like that, you know, obviously Kate and Sam's side is getting portrayed to be more so the villainous side. But I just want to say, I don't think they're necessarily in the wrong. I mean, with how long they've both of them have been manipulated, tortured, I completely understand why they feel the need to kill Shetty here. Stop the plan, obviously. You know, in a world that cohesion and unity exists is probably ideal, but I just want to say I don't blame Kate and Sam for how they feel in this moment and getting other soups to rally behind them after seeing all of what Godolkin had behind the scenes.
This yeah, their feelings, I would say, aren't like invalid. I think they've done
maybe some of the actions.
Show us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not the actions you support, but I feel like they've done enough to show us that these feelings are quite valid, especially in Sam's case. I feel like that was one of my favorite story beats almost here is him, like when I guess it's episode 7 at the end of it, when he like goes to the rally and is like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, like you know, like soups, like we are cool, like all that kind of stuff. But he like when he had like learns that quote unquote, I love that, and then how it translates into this where it's like he is like, yeah, fuck humans, like they were fucking with us, like it all makes sense, and I didn't expect it, and I'm really really into it.
Kate says, you know, hey, maybe eventually you guys will realize that I'm being a hero, and Sam's like, I want to be a hero too.
Yeah.
And so yeah. Like I don't blame Sam what you guys are saying, and it's more Kate. Like Kate has been around society. She's been like, I know she was locked up when she was a kid, had a horrible life, probably a horrible experience about getting manipulated and shit at Godolkin U. But like she's got to know that like there's innocence out there. So I think it was kind of more the mental snap and breaking point, kind of like what Hubert. Kind of what
just see him taking a nosedive off the bed behind you.
Yeah, he's just doing his thing. But like even what Luke Golden Boy like had, he had a mental break, and we kind of been seeing it a little bit. It's kind of a trend, and I don't know if it's all going towards that direction where we almost should expect somebody with soups, a soup power to like break down at one point going forward. But I think it was more Kate just something snapped inside of her, probably from all the pushing and everything.
And I guess with Kate, I mean, with Sam, we don't really know how his family treated him, but certainly he knew the humans in Vault were evil. But like Kate's been getting that from her own family since she was very young. So like she's seen humanity kind of through the lens of Vault and through the lens of just being a little girl out in society. And she has seen it both ways and decided that humanity is evil to soups and her kind either way. So yeah, I mean, their motivations are not just, but they make sense for sure. And that's what makes compelling villains.
Just putting respect on Jordan's name, man. I mean, at one point, Kate's like, yeah, you can stop me, but do you think you can really stop him? Like, points to Sam. And, you know, that's obviously respect to Sam because Sam's strong as shit. But I also think that also puts a lot on Jordan's name, who we know is already a badass, but you know, they thought about it for a second. They're like, can I take him? I might be able to take him. All right, fine. No. So I just love Jordan. Favorite character. Maybe. I don't know. They're
up there for me. There are so many, though. There are so many.
Way to walk back that statement. Favorite character. Maybe. I love it.
Nobody second guesses themselves like me. All right. I'm one of the best.
I love it.
I didn't have buckets for this episode because I feel like it's all just like moving one direction the entire time. We're bopping around from characters. So the next scene that we have is actually Andre with his father in the hospital. And we get kind of a bombshell that gets lost in everything else that happens this episode. Polarity and therefore Andre's powers kind of create these micro tears in the neural pathways in the brain every time that they get used. And they essentially said, hey, we can't help your dad, but we can kind of slow it and mitigate the risk now that we know what's going on. And we're kind of led to believe that Andre is exhibiting some symptoms of this too. You know, I'm lightheaded, but doesn't everybody get lightheaded? Yeah. So we don't really know 100% what's going on there, but we also get to catch up with Polarity. And oh, it turns out Polarity's kind of a good guy and a good dad.
Yeah, not going to give
I don't know about
He's self-aware, at least.
I'm not ready to give him full forgiveness, but yes, Kyle, he is self-aware. The admittance to him doing wrong is a good step forward to that path to redemption for us. This was a great scene. I just want to highlight Andre's acting. I just think just a great character here. I flipped on Polarity a little bit here, but still going to hold him in that asshole kind of light still, because he could have done something. He just could have done something.
I think he would be okay with that too. I think he would not really fight that designation so much.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit. And you could tell by the line where he's saying, you know, I did everything. I'm sorry for everything. I knew about it and played it along, did whatever they told me to do. And I did it all to protect you. And then he's telling Andre, do whatever they tell you to do. No one goes through life without regrets. And that is just a horrible way to look at it, because, well, if you're like just turning a blind eye to every immoral decision that comes to you, and you're like, ah, yeah, I always had regrets. It's like one or two regrets, big regrets in your lifetime. It's not like 5 million that you can just piss out the window.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, that's what maybe
context to that is he's saying it in the space of like protecting and providing for his family is why he doesn't care about the regrets. I feel like he's not supporting like just doing whatever you want. I feel like that is like the reasoning. And if that is the reasoning, then it's okay to do these things. Like, is what he's trying to impart on Andre. I thought it was interesting that Andre doesn't tell him about
the fact that his powers are killing him,
because it almost felt like he was like relinquishing almost the title of Polarity, like he was giving it to Andre, the mantle. And I guess Andre, it's an emotional moment, and it just felt interesting that he didn't bring it up.
That went more into Andre. She doesn't want to tell his dad that he can't use his powers because he doesn't want to disappoint his dad. So he will 100% disappoint his dad if he never uses his powers again. And Polarity, the hero Polarity, just dies.
Okay. I think that's how to take it, Paul. Because honestly, when I was first watching it, I was kind of confused as well on why he would withhold that information from his dad. But I guess it would get to the point where they would kind of understand that, okay, if it's happening to the father, it's probably happening to Andre. And
I guess it ruins the bequeathing.
Yeah. And his dad also was just giving him like the A-okay to like kind of do what you want to do here. And
he did
And if that means unleashing your powers, then do it. And I think and I agree with you, Paul. I think that's why Andre was like, maybe I shouldn't tell him until this is all done.
Well, like his dad just got done saying, I did all of this for you so you could become Polarity, like, and carry on my name. So if Andre's like, oh, yeah, you did all that for no reason because we can't use our powers because it's going to kill us, like, that would disappoint his dad.
A little regret.
That's interesting, because I read this scene like, oh, the doctor probably already broke the news to Polarity, so he's in the know. Otherwise, Andre, like, he still has his wits about him and is awake. The doctor wouldn't just tell his child before him. Polarity is probably giving this emotional speech because he's like, my brain's all messed up now. Like,
interesting.
I don't have much time left, but he should keep carrying the baton. Well, this is why we talk it out, because it could be the other way.
Well, it's also, I guess I'm right.
Yeah.
That interpretation is also like, this will be you one day, but like, don't worry about that. Like, don't live with regrets. Go provide for your family.
Well, okay, I'm reading everything different, because I think the point of the conversation with the doctor was essentially to say it's too late for him, but we can slow the progression in you so that you can be Polarity, because that was not a throwaway line that he said, we can slow it or mitigate the risk.
I thought the last thing he said was no using powers, right?
Well, in the meantime, but when I just watched that, it was in the context of for your dad in the meantime, no using his powers.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely didn't take it that way, but I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I guess it would be interesting to find out.
Let us know who you think's right in our Discord, dude. Bitchtown TV.
We're all wrong.
We're all winners.
Okay. All right. We get our girl. Hell yeah.
We do flash to Ashley in all her glory with the Vought leadership team, who are doing some damage control at God Use campus. You know, let's just grab this thing by the scruff of the neck. And she essentially says, okay, we've got some horrible PR with everything going on at God Use, so we need a distraction. How about we elevate someone immediately into the seven? Okay, I'm in. They're going over some resumes, and the first one that pops up is Andre's, and she's essentially like, okay, this kid's an idiot. I mean, surprisingly good IQ. Who the hell's like in this kid's corner? Why is he at the top of my list?
Like, GPA trash, and he had like a 3.3.
Trash.
Like, that's not bad at all, especially for how like we've seen him in his level of engagement, let's say, in school.
They legitimately say fucking terrible for his GPA, a 3.3. Oh my God, I would,
like, damn.
I would be so booted out of Godolkin U.
Also, I guess, you know, to become the seven. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
Talking about how his skin color comes off the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And Ash was like, well, we'll get somebody to stop the racist. God, you fucking racist. Or yeah. something like that. Whatever it was. But it's just so ridiculous conversations they have.
The one comment was like, they're looking at his resume and it was British accent.
It was just special skills. Yeah,
special skills.
But I want to say really quickly that I feel like for Ashley, I feel like her character design just gets more, maybe not fancy is the right word, but she just looks more powerful. Like a person. Yeah, she just looks more powerful. Like, I mean, if you look at from what the, like the outfits and makeup I feel like that she was wearing in season one, and you kind of like slowly progress through all the seasons and get to this point, like, she looked incredible here. I like, not to say confident. That she ever looked bad, but yeah, just the confidence, like the makeup and the outfits were just like oozing power to me. And it just feels like she's really embracing her role as Vought's, you know, head person.
She's CEO.
That's what I was. Yeah, I was going to say CEO, okay. But I wasn't sure. Yeah,
it goes along with kind of her character arc, because beginning of season three, she was having like a nervous breakdown because Homelander was starting to assume more control. But then there's that one-on-one scene with Starlight where she essentially flips a switch and it's like, next time you want to talk to me, Starlight, make a fucking meeting.
Yes, and I feel like ever since then, absolutely.
No, so thank you for pointing that out. I think that's. The wardrobe doing a good job of showing her character. Sorry, I cut you off, Paul.
No, I was just going to say, not even the wardrobe, probably just her acting and the way she
carries herself. And her acting, too. Absolutely.
And body language and everything to go along with it. I loved it. They were just like, she's just all business now. It's fucking great.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, quick scene with Ashley, and she ends it by saying, where the hell is Shetty? Everything's going to shit. And we flash to the woods where Sam and Kate are showing up to free some of their fellow prisoners, students, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, I mean, they take care of the guards. I mean, Sam is strong. He just like punches right through the face shield. And Kate is scary.
She gives some crazy demands or requests or no. They're not requests.
Compulsion. Orders?
They're just I can't fucking imagine. Like, obviously you wouldn't have a choice type of deal here, but even like her thinking them up is fucked up.
He's twisted. She's had years to think of these kinds of things though. Like, if she really wanted to fuck someone's day, I'm sure she's like, oh, I want to make that person eat their hands off, you know? Like,
that's just an insane thing to tell someone to do.
My favorite one though was when she tells the one security guard to seduce the other one and is like, you're going to get on your knees. I'm going to put this flashlight right down your throat before I put it, like something like that. And then like, where does she have the time? Like, she's like rushing around trying to like hide and be secret and get a mission done. But she's like giving them 17 different tasks.
I love how infamous Sam is in the woods. Like, Kate shows up. The guy's like, ah, Kate, been a while. And she's like, hey, Greg, it's Bob. And then he sees Sam's face and it's just, oh my God. Oh, like, he just knew right away that he was going to fucking die. And it was so gruesome.
I liked how his room was like way lived in compared to everyone else. Like, everyone else just had like their little foam topper or like their little mattress, but he had like posters and
special
like
treatment
else. He had a bean bag.
Been there forever.
It was just a good, I think, like, just way to show that part of his story. I'm just, one thing for me, I thought like the whole crux of this episode from this point on was going to be like the virus, and now it's kind of, it's just more like a sleeping giant, I guess, that we know about, and we're like, okay, this is like an undercurrent happening, but
that's a season four of The Boys seed being planted for sure. But the important things that happen here, you know, we release all the other prisoners, so now she's kind of got her little army with her to do her bidding. We also have Kate and Sam stumble across the dead body of our boy Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Who likes chicken poppers? He used to enjoy chicken poppers.
Great.
But now they know what the infection looks like, and that would freaking gas the boys up. It's like, yo, see what they're doing to our homies? We got to take care of ourselves. But I think this was one of the coolest motifs, whatever you want to call it, is Golden Boy Luke appearing as kind of the good angel, bad angel on his shoulders, but Luke. Or his memory of Luke is the good angel the entire time, just giving him nothing but love and being like, hey, man, do you really think this is the right thing? I know you want to do the right thing, but you're kind of just going for the easiest solution that Kate has given you. I love Golden Boy, actually. Gone too soon.
I was really glad
man.
He came back.
Gone too soon.
Honestly, it sucks that he's dead because, yeah, exactly what you guys are saying. He's great. His powers are great. At least we get these little bits of him. About the virus, do you think, because these other people in the woods were also thrown in the same room with Andy, we saw that episode 7. Do you think they contracted this at all? We're on the theory that it was only still through fluids, but they were in the same room with him and he was coughing up a crazy lung and then they were released into the public. So I don't know if that's going to be a thing, especially because Marie used her blood for everything. But I don't know if that's going to be the thing going forward or Newman with it.
Homie was looking a little sickly and he was drenched in sweat, dude.
Yeah.
I was thinking the entire time, is this guy something?
See, I like where your head's at with the idea that Marie was just also using her powers all willy-nilly at the end here, especially if one of them was infected and then she's starting to use her powers to touch soups with the blood that's been corrupted. Paul, you know me. I'll support you, baby. I'll support
all right,
you.
Well, speaking of supporting my theories, fine, Brian, you got me again. Marie's sister's not in the woods. I think they all get released. It was a long shot, but unless she was one of the ones that died real quick.
I feel like there was a lot of steam for that one. I feel like it wasn't like completely out of the question that she could have been at the woods.
There's still some steam in the Annabeth has compound B, I would say, whenever we do get to that storyline again.
Well, it would seem odd almost that they only gave it to Marie.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an age thing, but
my only other comment here would be I love Nightcrawler in the X-Men, and of course we get a Nightcrawler character here that's also in the woods who can teleport. Teleporting is my favorite ability, so it was cool seeing that. And it's like funny, it's like ironic and funny, like satirical, that they're just kind of like completely ripping off the X-Men, but like at the same time I feel like it's already just, I don't really care if this is like rehashed, if whatever you want to call it, like this is still just, they're still making it like a unique twist for the boys, you know. So I just love that character.
Speaking of characters that I hate, I know that's not what you were talking about. Fucking his name is Rufus, right?
Rufus.
He's making that stupid TikTok, and I love the outtakes because you never see the outtakes. But yeah, that was the first attack on a non-soup. Just, are you a human? Or I'm sorry, are you a soup? No, I'm Professor. Just face melted. Like, yeah. Jesus Christ, was not
wrong
expecting
place,
that.
Wrong time,
well, that's what I was curious about, like him, the sweating part, because I feel like his power was based on heat. I was just curious. I didn't go back to check, like, to clock all the faces that were in the room, like the incubation room, I guess, for lack of a better term, and the squad of people that were out. I couldn't tell if any of those people were the same characters. Because I probably should have, because I was like thinking the whole episode, like, okay, like the virus will be the climax. The virus will be the climax. The virus will be the climax. Obviously it wasn't, but I think that would be interesting to go back and check. But yeah, that was bad. I mean, say badass, but like, that's fucking insane that he just fucking palmed her face and just melted it. And I was like, okay.
Not quick death. That was slow, painful one.
No. Oh my God.
And I mean, at this point, all hell just kind of starts to break loose. The floodgates are open. There's like a dozen of these students just causing a menace all over campus.
They have some great powers to fuck shit up. Like, it wasn't like one of them has like a huge penis.
Girl
has laser vision. This guy's teleporting. What a fucking absolute chaos merchants.
We see this dude, Counselor Jeff. Was that his name?
He's the social media advisor from whatever episode 2 or 3. Like,
yeah,
he's a boss, to be honest.
Yeah,
dude.
He was a boss. Yeah,
he lived.
He knew indeed not did not live.
Head blown off.
Yeah. Oh, duh. Yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah.
Immediately, just
on social media.
On-screen presence, incredible. Actually, that's hysterical. Social media, Jeff, and he dies on social media. Didn't put that together, Kyle. That is a great point. But he's like, hey, no crutches. Like, hot Jeff Summer coming at you. I was cracking the fuck up. He was awesome. And he also was strapped with the anti-soup. So he had the hot sonic whistle, whatever you want to call that, to incapacitate them. And then put the little chip in the mouth to explode. Also gets on the phone, says, my cover's blown. What do we think that was? We think that's just like Vault people infiltrating Godalkin, like with spies, just to make sure that they know everything? Or do you think this was potentially a third party trying to get in on it?
I feel like his headset thing was connected to like Vault stuff, like Ashley stuff, is the way I took it.
Yeah, I think my first impression would be Ashley, but I mean, he's not a soup. So, I mean, like, what hypothetically, he could, I guess, be undercover agent for the boys somehow, but like that would be a total stretch for me. I'm just, like, I just
assume something.
Yeah, like that's what I was kind of thinking, but I think that's too much of a stretch. I'm kind of right now just, I'm okay with it just being Vought, but I'm not too sure.
He's part of an elite strike unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why media and ninjas. He was all bandaged up. He's got hurt on a mission.
The composure, honestly, from this guy was pretty impressive, to be honest, to just like kind of identify the situation and just immediately know what to do. I was very impressed. I mean, up the until his death, force. Obviously, yeah. But of course,
he plays as this social media quirky guy, but in reality, elite strike force.
They call them meth heads when like escaped kids from the woods. And Jeff says, I think our rehab might be unlocked. So maybe that's just confirmation that it is, you know, Vought or whatever. He's just a Woods employee. But let's do the live stream. What a horrible, like, fucking thing to hear. Because the whole time you're conscious, you just have to do whatever she says. And the whole time he's probably thinking, what the fuck's she going to do to me? What the fuck's she going to do to me?
Honestly, got off easy.
Yeah, not as bad as some others. I agree.
Pressing the button to kill yourself. I mean, yeah, it was quick, but the build up to that has got to be mentally exhausting. Sure,
your heart's fucking racing, but you're not like smashing your dick with a baseball bat every hour on the hour. Like, I feel like that would be worse almost. Although, I guess you're still alive.
Wonder if he's still doing that. Anyway, Counselor Jeff gets his head popped, and Ashley is able to see it from her spot in the C-suite, as I've referred to it in my notes, and she's like, oh my gosh, where the hell is Shetty, who of course is dead. Anyway, we get a great flash to director Bork. He was actually just lauding the performance of this dude and says, that is talent. Only I get to clap. Only me. Bork is amazing, and I'm glad he made it out of this scene alive. I would have been very upset.
Yeah, I was just expecting it to happen. Just the rampage of going on, but who else but Emma coming to the rescue to prevent Sam from doing another murder in his life?
Yeah, I felt interesting that Sam, I guess in this scene, he did show like a level of restraint. I feel like the guards, he just one hit KOs everyone, but Bork, he just kind of grabbed his throat and was slowly doing it, I guess you could say. It could be plot armor. I don't really mind. I thought it was interesting because I also like his little quirky character.
This was before Kate turned off his emotions, so you know he still had that level of restraint to him.
And that's this is like a random person. He's like one hit KOing all of the guards, which I obviously in his head is a different thing for sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to get lucky anymore now that his emotions are off, but we're going to get to that scene. Sappy stuff with Emma. This is like Emma's last ditch effort one-on-one with Sam to just be like, hey, man, you're hurting people. This isn't you. And he just kind of lashes out and says, this is okay because I had a fucked up childhood. And it's like,
You know,
he
starts talking shit on her,
bro.
Dude, get off my girl Emma, man. Like, he's saying you're not a hero, you just want other people to like you. Which also inexplicably made her feel small, or made her be small, not feel small. So my hypothesis was that maybe it's just the emotions behind the act of purging that actually make her shrink. No, because then she eats.
I thought it was just
liquid gets big too.
I thought it was just the fact that she was crying. Like, she's losing fluids.
That makes so much more sense. And I'm just,
it's also like,
probably.
She's never cried before.
Yeah, but that's also, and then I was thinking, like, okay. And then if we're talking like blood too, like, she's definitely bled before and probably just, I don't know, but I'm just going to, I took it as like the tears were another way for her to use her powers.
I was thinking maybe it was linked to her emotions, but I kind of expect them to go into that and have a good explanation that we can't really see on the surface level. And I'm very excited because that was that was a horrible aspect of her power, was that she had to purge every time she wanted to get small. And if we could get rid of that, then she's super strong when she's big. If she can figure out a way to control it both ways, Emma's going to be a powerful soup, in my opinion. Anything else on that scene?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't too crazy about like Sam kind of, I know that he's supposed to be choosing his side, but I just feel like he was a little honestly too harsh. Like his turnaround to like being quickly just like pro soup immediately to like to the point that he was willing to just say all these terrible things about Emma felt a little like a stretch. It didn't feel like too. Well, I know it wasn't. I don't really know how to describe it. It just felt like a little bit of a reach for me in this moment.
For me, they could only commit so much on screen time to doctors shoving needles in his spine while he's strapped down to a table. So you got to assume he's been there for 16 years and that has been his life. That's going to make you very cynical.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, they're very, let's say, open about his mental struggles.
Yeah.
So I thought this was just hard to watch.
And Kate is that manipulating also him as a tool, too. So there are influences.
Oh, I guess that was part of it, too, is that it just, you know, it was just painful to watch happen also. I just hated seeing it.
All right. So moving on, we have a very quick scene where Kate essentially calls Andre and just says, oh, Andre, we can still make it work. And Andre's like, oh, I'm pissed at you. But he does go back to God, you. And essentially that's. Is just getting Andre back on campus to join the fray. Now we have this scene where Sam is meeting up with Kate, and it is kind of his last one-on-one conversation where he has that good angel of the memory of Luke kind of being the good soldier, fighting the good fight, saying, Sam, dude, I love you. This is not the right thing. This is your moment right here. Just walk away and say no, and you can still walk away from this kind of with your head held high. And it's actually Luke saying, I love you. That does him in, because Sam's like, but wait, you said you were me and I hate myself, man.
Yeah. I was like, fuck.
Yeah. I was
wild.
Like, wild.
I mean, storytelling wise, hell yeah.
This scene was hard as shit. I loved this scene, to be honest. The way he just looks Kate in the eyes, like, just make it go all away, and she just touches him and is like, you feel nothing. I thought that was kind of badass as shit, to be honest. As much as, like, I'm not maybe pro this side, it was still so badass, I thought. It was really cool.
I mean, that's just a glitch. Him
He's
thoughts and emotion. Well, I guess not necessarily no thoughts, but no emotions tied to anything that he's doing. I mean, he clearly seems to be... show, at least, like the strongest physical character.
My first immediate thoughts were, how long is this going to last? You know, if Kate were to die, would he still, you know, be under this quote unquote spell, or would that power no longer exist? That's just kind of one thing, because if they're going to stop Sam, I feel like you're going to have to stop Kate first, unfortunately, is how my mind's kind of working it. So I think they're going to have to like either kill or subdue Kate. And then Sam will finally maybe have that like realization of like Luke coming back, talking to him.
I don't think they would run the risk of killing Kate if they couldn't guarantee that that would reverse.
No, Sam's you're right.
Thing. You're so right. I feel like they would have to convince Kate to release him and then take care of Kate.
But that was just something I was wondering, is how they're going to get Sam back to his normal self.
Glitch if her command stuck after she died.
Yeah.
I wonder, if they have like an expiration almost. I mean, maybe not. I mean, her brother, obviously.
Like, what if she died and then all of a sudden her brother just pops up.
Shows
like,
up.
Yeah. I've been wandering the earth for fucking 20 years now.
So we still don't. Or do we have any idea what we think Sam's powers are that are so strong that all these people are going about it? That, I mean, they constantly reference the needle in the back, injecting it into Luke to try to make him stronger. Do we think there's just something like Sam can just amplify other soups and their powers or something like that?
He's a black noir regen.
Yeah, that's kind of where my head's been at, because ever since I've made that comment about Sam kind of feeling a little like Black Noir, in the sense that, like, you know, they are both emotionally damaged. They kind of stick to these like childish thoughts. I was kind of thinking along those lines. I just think he's, just super, super durable. And especially now that he has Luke's genes, who also seem to be like extremely durable, that he's just one of the harder people to just kill in general. Like, maybe he just has super strength, but it's just way harder to actually like hurt him.
I'm still thinking there's a mental aspect that they really haven't gotten too deep into, but for sure, just his physical abilities are off the chart, even by the standards of other supes around him. So Sam's one to watch, as they say.
Okay.
Here's a question that my roommate actually brought up. Were you guys disappointed that Kate could not put together that Sam was visualizing Luke in that scene, because she has the ability to read people's mind? Sam was having like a full conversation with Luke, and she was thinking, what's going on?
I swear to God, I was thinking the same exact thing. But go ahead, Paul.
My only retort to that, and I would have to go back to double check, but in the beginning of this episode, when they show Kate freaking out to everybody's thoughts, they never
showed Sam's,
and I think they made it a point where she kind of looked at Sam, and Sam was just kind of like standing there, and she didn't hear any thoughts at that time. So there's the chance that for whatever reason she can't break through and listen to Sam's thoughts, or Sam is just constantly gum octopus, and he's no thoughts going through his head whatsoever. She doesn't hear any thoughts because there's nothing going on up there.
Yeah, it might go into the fact that he's just, again, just so strong that we've been told that even Kate's powers can't even reach her. That would be the only counter argument I had, but I was thinking the same thing. Like, I was waiting for Kate to honestly kind of turn and be like, Luke, what are you doing here? And kind of have those memories blend a little bit. But I'm with you, Paul. I think it's just Sam's just super strong.
Yep, dude. Go ahead.
I was just going to move a little bit forward to when Marie hits the panic button. And all the doors go down, the panic button, Shetty's room, locks everybody in their dorm, and fucking what's her name and Justine. Harper. Justine and Harper were just pure comedic relief. Unbelievably funny for the 5 seconds that they were on screen. They're freaking out live streaming the incident. And then when the Wi-Fi goes out and they really freak out and they're like, how is anybody going to know if we die? I loved every second of it.
Yeah, they were funny. But it makes sense that they would have these alarms all throughout the campus, especially if it's run by non-soup people. So this is
we got a glimpse of it when Andre stormed into Rufus's room. I'm sorry, vice versa. Andre was already in Rufus's room and Rufus came in and Andre like used his powers to like slam the blast storage shield. Blast shields is what I was thinking of because of Star Wars. And then I used blast doors, whatever. It was honestly really good glimpse early on and made a lot of sense here. So really good job by them.
Then we get the counterattack from the soups who they're using the alarms. And then we get Banshee out here just hitting everyone else back with the noise that they were hearing, basically.
Yeah, the Uno reverse card gets played. So the sonic whistle is out of commission, but I guess the blast doors are still down. And at this point in time, like, Ashley gets a breather, like, oh, okay, the sonic whistle's out, and then it stops and she freaks out again. Bork joins the rest of the leadership team armed with this blackmail of what they did at the pediatric cancer whatever. And Ashley's like, okay, let him in, shut the hell up. Just another classic one-liner.
Love they brought that back, man. You thought it was just a funny scene of them banging in the stall. Nope, it's a plot point.
And at this point, Ashley's getting desperate, so she essentially says, start calling some of these students from the resume and offer them a spot in the seven if they kill some of these rogue soups. So she gets on the horn with Marie and essentially says, dude, if you kill these rogue soups, you're in the seven. I can even get you a meeting with your sister. Like, don't mess around. I can make things happen for you, Marie.
That's power.
That is power.
Powers, power.
I feel like so much shit. I mean, this whole episode was fast, but like this part specifically, we just get like cut of this scene, just pure mayhem going around. And I know it's hard to do, but something with the continuity of it, like with Marie and Jordan and Emma, like their plan. And then it feels like it takes forever for Marie just to get to the panic button. And so many people die from then. I know it's hard to show. And, you know, everything's not exactly lined up linearly in like what they show us. But I don't know. That was just one thing that I was constantly thinking about. Like, Marie is a soup and she knows this campus well. How is she not hitting this panic button sooner? And just them following following them to the woods. They're like, yeah, we're going to stop them. And then they show up like 15 minutes too late. But other than that, that was my only like big complaint.
Kate's eyes are just extremely bloodshot, and I feel like it's still, to me, not clear whether it was actually the medication or it's her powers. Like, I get that at first we were led to believe it was her powers. Then we kind of get the reveal that Shetty's been medicating her all this time, and we're kind of led to believe that it was the medication that was limiting her. But she is definitely not in good shape here. Like, she is like arched over the like this sign, like looking like she's going to throw up. Eyes are bloodier than we've ever seen them so far. I just don't know. I really am curious to know what you guys, if you guys are taking it as her power still, or if it's just still the medication wearing off. I don't know.
I think that the more she pushes, the more bloodshot her eyes get. But I totally agree. I have no idea what to think about what the medication does versus compared to at least like the seizures and everything that it causes her to do. Because that was a thought I had. I was like, dude, we just watched her push like 8 different people and she's fine. Last time we saw her like push 4 and she had a headache. So I think the medication had something to play. To what extent fully, I'm not exactly sure.
I mean, if she's to believe, the medication put a limit on her. It was basically a limiter. Mm-hmm. Like Andre says to her, and I don't know if I'm skipping too far ahead there, but he's like, how are you pushing this hard?
Yeah.
And she was like, the medication Shetty gave me, like, it wasn't helping me. It was actually limiting me.
Okay, so, and you're saying that now that she's like fully unleashed, now the side effects of her actual powers are like more devastating.
Yeah. Like the, well, yeah, the pills now were she, only like, hears all the voices, like, yeah, and like she's stronger in the sense that she can handle more of the pushing stuff is what at least I kind of gleaned out of all of the scenes.
Shetty's motivation for giving her the pills could have been to keep control over her, but a side effect could have also been limiting her powers, therefore for keeping her more safe.
I'm also now kind of thinking about polarity too. Now, if anyone is maybe like, if someone is injected with compound V, this is just the, like, they just have issues with their brain. Like, I don't really know what the science behind it would be all, but
could be. All soups have like devastating side effects, and some of them don't even live long enough to see them or whatever.
Yeah. Although I thought it was kind of weird or interesting, whatever you want to say. They've introduced two soups now in Polarity and Kate that their powers like has a detrimental effect to them, like
Temp V
in the long term. Well, yeah. Temp V, but yeah, that's not.
It's not exactly the same, but it's the it's idea.
It's kind
of,
yeah.
You know, you are killing yourself.
Yeah, it's not perfect.
I guess I'm just saying this is an element to the traditional compound V that we never saw established in The Boys. And now they're giving us like two characters where it's like, oh, these two super powerful ones are affecting their long-term health. I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was unique to Gen V, not The Boys. But
I guess like, they technically have like quote unquote brain powers.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be also it. I've also
the thing I can really think of.
Yeah. I've been also kind of thinking the same thing that they're both also just very strong with their mind brain powers. So that just might be it. Could be because I guess no, you're right.
Like a psychic.
No, you're kind of right. No. Cause I'm thinking of A-Train. Like A-Train has issues with his heart, but that's like a direct correlation to the fact that like, I guess he is like pumping like blood and shit all the time. Yeah. Just going so fast that it's probably just, these are all probably just natural side effects
too.
Like that also
Homelander would go blind eventually. Just from using all the lasers in his
Homelander like, feels like a complete, like, perfect being for soups. Yeah.
His one side effect is that he just loves breast milk.
Yeah.
that's
his negative side.
That's the negative. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess beyond like the sociopathy and everything else. Yeah.
His ultimate villain is just a big titty.
Just mesmerized.
And I will like, watch that episode.
You look lonely. I can fix that.
All right. Is this the best? Best scene of the episode?
I was so hyped, man. I was so fucking hyped.
I mean, are you counting just this whole entire scene as a one singular scene? I mean, we have the helicopter come down. Everybody's just converging. Andre saves the helicopter from crashing. We have Andre and Marie kind of decide, hey, Guardians of Godolkin forever, and chase after Kate together. And that's where we have Maverick entering.
Yeah.
And I just love how when she compels someone, they're always just like, oh, you got it. Like, so happy to just help. And we also got confirmation earlier that Maverick is 100% translucent sun, which is cool because they were saying they might want him to take over the Seven. But I mean, this is kind of Marie's first real test out in the field. Okay. The training wheels are off. You got Maverick going at her, and she has to learn how to use her powers. So she levels up like twice in this episode, but the first of which is just taking a page out of the Newman playbook and sensing your opponent. So now that she can just sense where someone is around her, she's a beast.
Mm. Dude, the way she visualized and just saw the heart floating there, and then it went to all of the veins and the blood. Oh my God, it was so cool. It was great. I loved it. I thought she was going to cut her hand and just spray blood and then just like cover him that way. But this was way cooler because the visual was awesome. And I love that he's just naked all the time. Like, we know that because he's like invisible, and the only way to be invisible is not to have clothes on. Like, we see his hat and glasses, obviously, but like just when he comes back to like the real world and stops being invisible and he's just naked, it's like, oh, he's a little like, huh, forgot about that.
His dick is just raw dog in the world at all times.
Oh yeah, in
like
the
that
wind,
would be a little nonstop. Comfortable too. Yeah, exactly. Like anything like that, I would feel, I guess you'd get used to it.
Marie's power is also just so broken that I think she just like looks at someone, kind of just like makes like a clenching motion, and it just to imply that she's like, I guess, like suffocating the heart to the point that these soups just pass out. Like, she just took down three soups just by going like this. And just, we're definitely getting a moment where Marie is just like, I feel like controlling like multiple people at once. I can't wait for that.
Yeah. And being able to impact someone's cardiovascular system remotely is just that's just unfair.
And if Newman has the same power, that is just crazy and explains why Homelander is like a slight threat. And just to add on to that, they've been really with this show. I feel like the main one of the big points is if you give Gen V to the kid of a soup, it's most likely going to have the same powers. That being said, I think Newman, when she gave her kids Temp V, her daughter's going to have the same powers. And that's why she was like, oh, my daughter's going to be so excited when I tell her that I met the Guardian of Godolkin because she has the same powers.
Dude, what if that daughter was Annabeth? That'd be fucking crazy.
No, just
she adopted her somehow.
Yeah. Well, no, the parents that she killed were not her real parents. It was all set up, I thought. That's what it was.
Is that you officially, Paul, abandoning your hope that Newman's daughter gets a terrible power?
Yeah I was hoping that her power was gonna be like she turns into a puddle of mud or something like that, but
just muck rolling around.
Yeah. Mud girl.
I think that's out the window. So many theories destroyed.
Like that wouldn't even be like a terrible power.
No, I mean, realistically, there's no though. I mean, okay, I was just gonna say there's no bad powers, but Emma's was definitely bad for a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, we only come up there though. Okay, moving on with this scene. Andre, while Marie is taking care of Maverick, Andre goes ahead to confront Kate, and we have kind of this standoff where like Andre's in love with this girl, but she's clearly batshit crazy at this point in time. She reaches out the hand. He's like, sorry, girly pop, I ain't touching that hand. And then she's just like, oh, okay, that's whatever. Because out of the peripheral, she sees Sam come and tackle. So if you guys want to comment on the Kate and Andre standoff or the Sam fight, have at it.
That's tough. That Kate and Andre scene was always going to happen once like the wheels got in motion. Like that felt like we were going to get there with Kate, like the whole physical touch thing being like that emotional moment. But it was still like, fuck, watching that, like her hand be out and him like not touch it, and was like
hesitation.
Yeah.
Her like, reaction,
I get it.
Her reaction was phenomenal when she's like, okay, she's just like, all right, fine, I knew this was gonna happen. And Sam coming in, I would be shitting myself if I was Andre. Tries, he's saying, hey, I loved your brother, all this other stuff. Not happening because Kate, you know, took out all that emotion. He honestly don't know. It probably would have worked a little bit, or at least had conversations with Sam. But, you know, Kate has him on ultimate mode right now. Wish this fight kind of went out a little bit longer. And I thought Sam was literally just going to take the taser and be fine. And that was just going to show that he was just tortured this whole time. So a little bummed out that, you know, he got knocked out by it. But also, wasn't Andre, if like Sam is holding you and you're tasing him, aren't you also tasing yourself? And
he
assuming
himself out.
That's why he like fell down. Okay.
He was like the way he was, I guess, convulsing felt like he was like had been shocked, essentially. I'm trying to think, remember, like, does Homelander ever get hit with electricity like this? I'm just kind of like trying to power scale Sam a little bit, but
yeah. This is what I'm saying. I was a little upset.
I don't know if we've ever seen Homelander get like tased. I imagine this thing would do absolutely nothing to him.
It feels like such a base level of physiology, no matter how like physically strong you are, of like electric currents like hitting your cells.
I'm trying to think of Stormfront.
Yeah, true.
And everything that they did with like that electricity, but I don't think we ever got like.
Yeah, I just can't remember off the top of my head.
They had some kinky sex. I don't know. They had some pretty kinky sex, I imagine.
And I'm was sure, gonna say yeah. She zaps him with lightning when they're hooking up.
I'm not gonna exclude that possibility. But my comment here will be that it's just like it's upsetting to see that Kate and Andre are having a conversation about how they're just really not that good together. And then we kind of flash to Jordan and Marie, who are like, oh, you see, like we're so good together after they just like murdered like 20 soups.
Best fucking scene. Are you kidding me? I mean, oh, I lied. I said best scene earlier was the fight against Maverick. This is when she pulls up all of the blood from all the dead bodies. Oh, yeah. Because the one person dashing towards the helicopter just makes a bunch of blood daggers, chucks them. Bork going, fucking Christ, I'm putting that in my next movie. Yeah. Unbelievable scene. Loved it. I thought it was so good. And kind of the realization that Marie killed her student that she was like fighting with, and Jordan also killed theirs by just choking him out. So I don't know. Wild. I thought that scene, it was going to go completely different than it did in about 5 minutes.
They're killers.
Honestly, it's 2 seconds.
Was this the first time she had like hardened the blood?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
She uses like a whip.
I know she uses like... it like a whip, but like we've never seen it like icicles. Like
the first episode. First episode when she's training in the gym, she kind of like hits that stuff and it looks like shards, but then it like does like fall shards, and though. Get liquid.
Yeah, I feel like this. I'm just trying to give her like a little bit more props, I guess, in the fact that don't think we hadn't seen her like at least to this level of like hardening the blood and sending it out all at once. Like that was just dope as shit. It was just Wheel of Time, baby.
I mean, yeah, she killed her parents.
That Swan Sanchez right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Or that JJK, a little convergence.
Oh yeah, true.
Piercing blood action.
In this scene and the Maverick fight, she is definitely leveling up her powers, honing her skills. This is both increasing her power level in both of these scenes.
Let's get to it, man.
I mean, yeah, so Marie's about to just start getting sappy with Jordan, just like, see, we're so great together. And out of her peripheral, she sees Kate just making the move to touch Jordan, and you do not touch Jordan anymore. And she just blasts the shit out of Kate's arm. I loved it because at this point in time, I was so over what Kate was doing.
Oh, yeah.
And just hearing her scream, I was like, you know what? You deserve it. You do.
No, it was super rewarding, as awful as that sounds. I got some joy out of it. I was like, Kate, take one. For how's it feel on the other side of telling all these people to eat their hands?
Those were some dangerous hands. Those were dangerous hands, and now there's one less of them in the world.
Yep.
Do you think she can still, I forget what's it called, Brian, what's nub? The fucking compulsion, that's what it was. Do you think she can still compel people with like other parts of her body, or does it have to be her hands?
She goes like
probably skin
very
contact,
specific
I would
point about the hands, but I guess yeah, it's deliberate.
They have like, been specifically saying hands, like she's constantly wearing gloves. Like it's not like she's wearing like sweaters.
You're not all everything
day.
With your face.
That's true. You know, that's like, also true. But this was, yeah, absolutely yeah. right. Like
well,
this was definitely justice.
That comes into play with Luke, Golden Boy, in the beginning of the series. If she had her gloves on and they were like kissing or something like that, could she compel him that way?
No, because yeah, totally.
But then would she have to talk while kissing though? Like, you know, like yeah. Now
point.
We're just yeah. We're diving
that's
in.
True.
A little,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But
it
no,
doesn't
this,
matter. She still has another hand.
But this was just crazy. I don't know really what I was expecting, but this was definitely a W for us. Like, I agree with everything you guys were saying. Like, this, she is again kind of understand where she's coming from, but the fact that now she wants to control her friends is. That's kind of where we draw the line a little bit. And I think Marie was totally in the right to just defend Jordan by just blowing her hand up. Like, what else? I mean, I guess realistically, if she had more control of her power, she could have just been like, oh, freeze,
I don't,
not blow up. but
I don't think that was intentional. I think she,
oh, no, no, it definitely
that
was
that
not.
Was a knee jerk reaction.
Oh, no, 100%
moving in on Boo.
That's what I'm saying. If she had more control of her power, I think she could have just froze her in place. Yeah. But the last quick, like the gears were turning for her. She was like, shit, I got to do something. Just like the Rufus Dick moment. It was just like, I'm reacting to a scene and this is what happens.
It feels like that was the last straw of any reconciliation between the two of them. Maria, I feel like obviously was trying. And maybe Kate was, you know, maybe not necessarily trying to get Murray to understand so much, but trying to just like show that what they're doing is right. And this happens and it's kind of like,
I didn't even
probably
have a
not going to be friends again.
I didn't even have a second to fucking let it breathe that Kate's arm just got blew up, because not even 5 seconds later, the fucking the man, the myth, the legend himself, Homelander shows up. And my mind was just like, I just couldn't process what was all going on right now. Yeah.
What's even scarier than that is like you hear the sonic boom coming first.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so cool.
Yeah, and then you see him just floating down, and everybody tightens up their butt when he's around, man.
And of course, Marie has only seen just, you know, the social media aspect of Homelander, in the sense that she thinks that he is here to devolve the situation, be a good person, like everyone assumes Homelander is going to be. And
she knows about the plane, I will say.
I guess, but I don't know how much like she actually knows. Like they just know that Homelander caused the plane crash, I guess, or something. Along those lines.
Agree with what you're saying. She has no idea. She maybe thinks a fraction that is a horrible way to form that sentence. She probably, if she thinks he's evil, only knows a fraction of the full evil that he really is.
It takes us back. Yeah.
In this moment, Marie certainly believes that Homelander is there to help her and her side win this fight and calm down the situation at God U. But does anybody have the quote that Homelander says to her?
What kind of animal are you? Do you like attacking your own kind?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what? And all of a sudden he's like, stay back.
I was so
in comes the lasers,
because the big question we've always asked on the podcast, like I guess with like Newman's ability, ever since we found out that she was the head popper, was, you know, would she be able to pop Homelander's head? And I was really hoping that we would maybe get some answers here. Like, I was hoping Marie would, like, kind of try and defend herself, be like, all right, Homelander, like, freeze, like, don't do anything. But no, she didn't make an attempt. So I was just, I really just wanted to see how strong Marie's powers really were when faced against the best of the best.
Well, an extension of that is going to be, do you think that now Marie will actually take on that role later on? Because I feel like Newman's always been the one like potential Homelander counter.
Mm.
But Newman also is fairly bro soup, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like now with the inclusion or the addition of Marie to the story, like just like maybe thinking about Marie, obviously their last scene with them is they're locked in a room with absolutely no doors and windows. But it feels like, maybe Marie now in the future slides into that role of hooks up with the boys, maybe all et cetera, et cetera. And she's kind of our like Homelander beater.
Mm-hmm. The boys are going to be such an interesting aspect into all of this, because they're going to have to partner up with the side of Marie, Andre, those that are like, I guess, not fully pro soup, but now they're again finding themselves working with more soups at the same time to try and like wipe out. And then we have the addition of the virus, which I'm sure if Butcher were to ever get his hands on would have no repercussion of just unleashing that upon the world. So
I think he did get his hands on it.
Yeah, I mean, all of this to say that like season four is just going to be a wild ride. Like all the just the different parties that are now forming here, like we have Vought, we have subcultures within the soup, you know, regime, and then we have the boys. Like there's just all these different parties that I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest.
Just to make sure we cover everything, we get a Cameron Coleman news update. And the official Vought story is that the pals, Emma, Andre, Marie, and Jordan are being painted as the terrorists responsible for the attacks at God U. And our new guardians of Godolkin are officially Sam and Kate.
Wow.
So Vought has successfully spun the story, and Homelander is looking on to that news coverage with a Homelander-esque smile. We get the scene where the four of them are waking up in a laboratory, assumedly basement of Vought Tower, whatever you want to say. We've seen these labs before. That's going to be a loose end for next season of The Boys. And then we have this just fucking incredible, diabolical post-credit scene with Billy Butcher. And I mean, these people are just pulling all the right levers. And like, it's low-hanging fruit, but I was so excited that they gave us a quick throwaway scene with Butcher. And he even gave us a what a bunch of cunts. I just love it so much. And I'm very excited for season four of The Boys.
You could tell who that was just from the silhouette and when he first comes up.
The boots
and the trench coat. Oh, just so great.
Those boots are made for walking, baby.
We talked about last episode, like maybe we're going to get the boys like busting through the wall, like mid-mission. But this is also very linear. Like, it makes a lot of sense to what they would do earlier. There's an event that happened. Butcher goes in right after to investigate and see if he can find any clues. So this is basically, we could pick up literally like right from here. Butcher's like, hey guys, just went out and checked out this place called The Woods. Let's go find out more about it. And that could just be some of the main plot.
Well, I want to ask you guys, do we think this is confirmation that Butcher was the one on the other end of that phone call with Mallory?
No, I don't think it was Mallory. I thought you were going to say Jeff. I thought you were going to say this kind of confirmed.
No.
I agree with B-Tums.
Mallory met with Shetty in alleyway or something. And then she was like, did you hear all that? Keep a close eye on Shetty, which would make sense why he was in the aftermath. He would be right there in the know about The Woods and said, what a bunch of cunts, you know?
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. That's why I think he has the virus, because they didn't like clean out Andy's body.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. He's going to pick up the body. I'm totally with you on that. He's going to pick on the body.
Anybody could make a virus out of that body. It's our boy Frenchie. I do want to say, when we last left the boys in season three, I think the last quote of that season finale was, this bitch has to go, in reference to Newman. So at the end of season three, the boys are on a collision course with Victoria Newman. So one way or another, the boys are going to clash with this virus storyline.
Yeah, that's true.
That's got to be like that's like the holy grail for them.
And I think we did get confirmation that Paul, I mean, you might have probably heard this too, but it's not going to pick up immediately. It's going to be 4 days after. Whatever happened here at the end of Gen V, 4 days after will be the start of season four. Like officially.
Fairly immediate.
Oh, it's immediate. It's definitely immediate. And I guess now the big thing we can talk about is what the fuck is going on in the room. Like, my takeaway was that Marie was the only one reacting how I would expect everyone to react. She was like freaking out. And everyone else was just like, oh, like, glad you're awake. Like, come party with us. It felt really weird that they weren't all panicking as well, and that Marie was the only one like freaking out.
It seems like they had already been awake for a while, probably got a lay of the situation and had already gone through those emotions.
But like, Emma's like laying there with like a smoothie, like so casually.
I feel like it's been days for them.
That would be the other thing I guess I would need to know is how many days, because I was just so shocked at how nonchalant all of them were.
Did she have a smoothie? I didn't catch that.
Like a drink.
She was holding something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like so, a drink.
I mean, did it seem like they were prisoners to you guys? Or like,
that's what I'm trying to determine. I mean, they are prisoners.
If you're in a room with no windows and no doors. Yeah.
But the term you're bringing, I think you're right. Like, you're kind of going to where my head is at, B-Toms, is that like they were all chilling, like very nonchalantly. Emma had a smoothie. Yeah. Like, they're being held like prisoners, but maybe not being treated like prisoners necessarily, you know?
Okay.
But I have no idea what to think. I wonder if this is like the original Woods. Maybe this is under Vought. This is the Woods 2.0. I'm not entirely sure. That's kind of
the
just
forest.
Yeah, it's the forest. That's kind of where my head was at. Is that maybe this is just a new woods?
I mean, it feels like a way to interpret that is, are they going to be kind of largely sidelined for season four of The Boys?
I think that's what that was going to be my question too, is that do we think this like group, like if it picks up 4 days after, like, is this, are they going to be kind of trapped here the whole time? Yeah. Like, I don't,
like, because
we know
there's similar, like
we know there's
the finale of The Boys leads us into Gen V season two. So like the finale of The Boys is what kind of
brings us back
their storyline. Yeah. And then like kind of
like a big explosion happens that allows them to escape kind of thing. Yeah.
I 100% think that they're going to be like one of the boys, like the boys would somehow like break them out because they know they're being held prisoner. And then bam, you got like a few people ready to help fight against Vought and Homelander. I mean, because I originally thought they were going to go jump right into the Seven. I had no idea that this curveball was coming where they were actually going to be the prisoners. So, yeah, I could definitely see Butcher being like, hey, I was at the school. All this stuff happened. There were these kids. Nobody knows where they went. They were the ones that did the terrorist attack. Let's go bust them out. And then all of a sudden, they're helping with the squad. And the last thing I'll say about this end, when they say, like, to Marie, you took that like a champ. Anybody else would be in the dirt by now. Just, I mean, Marie is just took a huge blast from Homelander. How the fuck is she not dead? Like, I don't know if he held back at all, but I think that is just insane clout to Newman, who has the same power.
I think there was definitely a plan from Homelander, because if he really wanted to, all four of these people would totally be 6 feet under right now. Yeah. So I think there must have been a plan for him, like, genuinely just capturing these people. We'll see, though.
Open the floor to you guys. If I'm not mistaken, we have four vacant seats in the Seven.
That's what I was
going
to bring
going
up.
Into season four of The Boys. And I mean, it seems like they are earmarking Sam and Kate to take two of those seats in the Seven. Homelander seems to like what they're bringing to the table.
Sam's definitely donning that black noir outfit.
Oh my in the God, Seven. That would
be nice.
Fucking crazy. I mean, it's just so funny how Sam has just gone from being just tortured and just in the worst situation possible to now potentially being in just the Seven, like a couple days later, of just being hunted for like an animal for days, weeks straight.
I think, Kyle, that actually works out perfectly. And I know, like, Dave, you've been making the comparison to Sam and Black Noir, but I think earlier, didn't they reference like, oh, Black Noir is on a secret mission? Like, that's why you're not seeing him right now. Like, they haven't announced to the public that he's dead. The only people that are gone are, you know, Starlight and Translucent. No. Yeah. Because then Stormfront and that whole thing. So, yeah. 100%. I don't know. Like, there's no way Sam can be a personality that can actually talk in front of cameras and do PR. Like, he's got to be the Black Noir type.
I was just thinking maybe they hit him with the Weapon X from like X-Men treatment, Ryan Reynolds, where they just like kind of sew his mouth shut and they're just like, all right, do our bidding as Black Noir.
I mean, if Kate's like directive,
just touch, still sticking, never speak.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like it would be very easy to compel him to not have like emotions or anything like that and just be like a robotic super soldier type of deal.
Oh my God, I'm so into this.
My big thing about like Beyond the Seven, like talking about Vought, is like, clearly the messaging that's coming out of this is not coming from Ashley. And I feel like we've always known Ashley is a little bit of a paper tiger, in the sense that like Stan Edgar obviously was controlling Homelander much more than Ashley could ever control Homelander. But it's just interesting to think about the behind the scenes of that, of like, obviously Ashley knows that Kate and Sam were like trying to kill her. But then the spin from the company that she's nominally the CEO of is that they are the heroes and the people that were trying to save her are the terrorists. So that's just interesting to think about the BTS of all.
I think Ashley is getting very comfortable in her role of just pushing Homelander's agenda so long as she herself is safe and is cashing checks from Vought.
Yeah, that works for sure. My last parting comment is that I thought the last like 10 minutes of the episode saved Marie's season for sure. I thought that she was like way underutilized as what was sold to us as like the main character. I feel like the beginning of the season was good. Her backstory was tragic, and like the threat of her sister is certainly interesting, but I feel like Jordan, much more compelling story and character to me. Even Andre, Kate, much more compelling character and backstory to me. Sam, much more compelling character. So I just thought it was interesting that on his leading up to that, the ending where like her powers are on full display and she talks to Kate about how like, you know, I just tried to be a hero, I just want to be a good person, that kind of stuff, I thought was all interesting stuff. Tanking the lasers from Homelander, because up until that point I was like, main character wise, like, this isn't she's not popping off the screen to me, although I do like her power and everything.
I understand those feelings.
And I mean, Kate is literally compelling. And while she may not be popping off the screen, she was popping people's arms off of their arm holders. Shoulders is what they call them.
Arm holders.
Shoulders are the things that hold your arms, kind of, if you think about it like that. I don't know. This was a really good season finale. I think biggest gripe was that it was very short, but there wasn't any wasted screen time, in my opinion. And I think it just bookended a very strong inaugural season of Gen V. I didn't think this was wasted comment or a not necessary spinoff. There was a lot of implications for the boys, and I've been saying it all season, but it maintains the quality that was established in the first three seasons of the boys. So I think overall it's just very promising for the future of this franchise. I am beaming because I just love the boys, and this was great.
We are the kids of America. Whoa. Reminds me of Jimmy Neutron.
It'll be interesting to see how many seasons it goes.
Yeah.
You know, like how many seasons will a completely separate show be versus how intertwined they are already almost within like the actual boys' storylines.
Is there even like a confirmation of season two?
I think it got a green light already.
Season two got renewed.
Yep. We're good to go on that.
I was going to say, this could have been just like a one-off season just to incorporate.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I can't envision this being like a 3 to 5 season show. It feels like maybe like 1 or 2, and then they're kind of incorporated. Although I guess theoretically, like the idea of the superhero college is an infinite goldmine of content, but...
Yeah.
Well, someone also even brought up that they could leave this plot of the four of them in the lab on the back burner and then just revisit it at the end of season four of the boys or something. And that would kickstart the next season of Gen V. Who knows?
Easily.
Cool.
We got anything else?
All good for
awesome.
Me.
Awesome. I love it. That is going to be a wrap on our season one coverage of Amazon Prime's Gen V. We all really enjoyed it. You better believe we're going to be covering season 4 of The Boys. And like we said, season 2 already green lit for Gen V. So we're going to be covering that too, probably about 2 or 3 years away from that. So look forward to it. Don't hold your breath, though. As always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us on BingetownTV.com and subscribe to our show on Spotify, YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV. And thanks for listening.
Woo!
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.